The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, we're continuing with the third step of the 16 steps of breathing that the Buddha taught. And these 16 steps are divided into what's called tetrads, groups of four. And so there's four of them to this first tetrad, and we're now in the third one. And this one says that one trains oneself to experience the whole body breathing in, and while breathing out, experiencing the whole body. And one of the ways to interpret this is to, in fact, have a global awareness of the body. The body, the kaya, K-A-Y-A, is very important in Buddhism. And the body that we have is not quite the right language of Buddhism, but rather the body we experience. The kaya is the body we experience, and it's a little bit distinct from our physical body. In ordinary life, the two are completely connected, of course. But the body that we experience our body in dependence on how the mind operates and the selection process of the mind and the concerns of the mind and the states of mind we have, the level of concentration, the level of mindfulness we have. It's possible to have some kind of concern about one's body, and one's mind attention keeps going to that part of the body, just focuses on that. It's a selection process. And some of that might be that maybe not that some part of the body ails us, but it might have to do with our physical appearance, that somehow our forehead is too high, our nose is too big or too small, or all kinds of things we do. And so we experience our body through the filter of our concerns about appearance. And so there's kind of a body consciousness. There's also, if we get afraid of our body, have anxiety about it, the very fear that the mind has, the projections, the fantasies about the future, the body ever so slightly shifts and changes in response to that. It tightens up. If we're full of desires and want something, our moods, our emotions, our desires, our motivations, all kind of have like tentacles, threads that reach out into our muscles, and the muscles kind of respond and react in all kinds of ways depending on what's going on in the mind. And so we start becoming aware of this when we sit and meditate. We're working with this, the interface between the mind and the body. And so as we start settling into meditation, we start encountering the body more and more fully, but it's not, as I said, the physical body. It's this interface between the physical body and the mind, or it's how the mind influences the body, the effect the mind has on the body. So, if I used to have very high shoulders when I was quite young, I had anxiety and fear, and and so I held it in my shoulders, and so that tension in the shoulders is a mind source. The fear in the mind and the heart impacts the body. And as I sat and meditated, I became acutely aware of these shoulders of mine. And there were times I would sit in meditation with a lot of pain in my shoulders, not because anything was wrong, but because I was encountering the chronic tension there, and it was beginning to work itself out and relax and let go, and it took a while to do that. Same thing with my belly. I held my belly in for a long time, and tight and contracted, and slowly, and that was kind of born from what was going on in my mind, my emotional life, my inner life. And as I started feeling more trust, more ease in life, that belly started to relax. Or as I started to relax the belly, that affected my mind. My mind started to relax more as well. So this interface between the two. And so what we're encountering in meditation is the mind impact on the body. That's kind of a little bit what's being worked and why it's so interesting and so fascinating, so deepening to begin including the body in meditation. Because while initially it might just feel like we're just encountering the physical body and physical pain and all that, really we're also encountering this meeting place of mind and body. And then fascinatingly, one of the ways the Buddha refers to this body of ours, another word that he uses is the word loka, L-O-K-A. And this word is a common word in Pali, in the Buddhist language, also used for the world. The world is loka. Kama loka is K-A-M-A-L-O-K-A, is the sensory world in which we live in. But loka also means, the Buddha referred to the word, used the word loka to refer to this phantom long body, psychophysical body that we have. And he said that you can experience everything. He kind of said that the experience of liberation, the experience of practice, is all occurring within this loka, this physical loka here, within this body loka. And the fact that the same word is used for world and for our body also points to this interface between the world around us and our physical body, just as there's an interface between the mind and the body. And so there's a kind of interrelatedness there as well. And so if we really learn to sit in the body, it puts us in this wonderful bridge to the mind and to the world around us. And exactly what the relationship between this physical world of ours and the world around us, that's, you know, maybe best to be discovered. But certainly the physical body picks up a lot that goes on in the world. And then we learn to be present for it in mindfulness. So you find a lot of emphasis in mindfulness of the body in Buddhism and becoming embodied. It's the body is not a physical lump of stuff. It's intimately connected to the depths of who we are and how we live our lives, and it can open to that depth as well. And it's a fantastic partner for us on the path to liberation, freedom from suffering. That the body is really a way to, the more we tune in, become attuned and tuned into our body, the more we pick up the subtlety. And subtlety doesn't mean inconsequential, but some of the deepest stuff, the subtle stuff, that is easier access through the body than only through the mind. And one way we see this emphasis, importance of the body, is here in this first tetrad, with the third exercise being breathing in, experiencing the whole body, breathing out, experiencing the whole body. And we'll see when we get to the fourth one that also includes the body. And this first tetrad, the first four steps, all appear in the three major teachings the Buddha gave on mindfulness. There's the four foundations of mindfulness. There's the discourse on breathing mindfully in and out, the Anapanasati Sutta. And then there's one that's called a discourse on mindfulness directed to the body. And these contain the most complete instructions the Buddha gave on mindfulness of the body, mindfulness. And all of them begin with this first tetrad, where the third and fourth part of it has to do with the body. So this is a big plug for the value of staying with the body. And then this wonderful art, skill, of breathing with, accompanying. And one of the skills that they have in hospice when people are dying, they sometimes teach, is when a person's dying, and maybe you can't communicate too much with them, is to breathe with them. Tune into their rhythm of breathing and breathe with them. And sometimes there's a sense that there is a kind of communion that goes on that way, and exactly the nature of that communion is open for some question. But it can be quite a profound thing to be breathing with someone, accompanying someone in their breathing. But it's also a very profound thing to accompany ourselves with our breathing. And it's very valuable to use our breathing to accompany ourselves in other ways as well. And so to breathe with our body, to breathe with the whole body, to breathe with the challenges of our body. And there's physical pain. I've done that many times, kind of stay with my breathing, but also have a careful attention to the place where there's pain in my body. And by doing so, I'm both doing the important work of mindfulness of the pain, of the discomfort. I'm not denying it or resisting it or pushing away from it. And I'm also not getting stuck or frozen around it or reactive to it as easily, because the rhythm, the massage of breathing in and breathing out keeps the mind more fluid, more relaxed. It keeps it from tightening up, getting stuck. And so this art of breathing with experience. And sometimes I have the sense, partly maybe imagination, that I'm breathing through different parts of my body. And that's kind of quite nice for me, that imagination. But sometimes just breathing with. So you might try this, to breathe with your life, to breathe with the different things going on. As you go about activities in daily life, maybe some simple ones that are not that complicated, see what happens if you breathe with the activity. So you're really aware of your breathing as you're doing whatever the activity you do. One of the fascinating places to do this is if you're on the computer. And to really track your breathing as you're on the computer. And keep a really, maybe sit and meditate for 2 minutes before you start using your computer. Tune into your breath, have a relaxed breath. And then stay with that relaxed breath. Stay attuned to your breathing as you're with your computer. And see if you can keep it accompanying the computer work with mindfulness of breathing. And probably if you do that, you'll start learning all kinds of things about yourself, all kinds of ways in which you hold your breath or speed up your breath. And you'll see this interface. You'll begin understanding how much this mindfulness of breathing and accompanying our life with breathing can inform us and teach us about life. And maybe more importantly, it can help us stay more relaxed, at ease, not caught up in things. So mindfulness of breathing, breathing in, experiencing the whole body, breathing out, experiencing the whole body. Great. Thank you very much.